Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In the times of Jewish marriages 2,000 years ago, when a man and woman became betrothed, they made their promises to be faithful and true to each other for the rest of their lives. Although they were known as husband and wife, the bridegroom lived in his father's house while he prepared a new home for his new family. This home preparation usually took about a year. If, however, the bride had been unfaithful to her husband during those 12 months, the bridegroom was entitled to divorce her, and this was the only period throughout the husband's lifetime that God recognized the husband's right to divorce his wife. When it became obvious to Mary that she was expecting a baby, she told her betrothed husband Joseph. He was most unhappy about the situation. There was only one conclusion to make. Mary had been unfaithful to him. Yet Joseph was unwilling to bring Mary public disgrace and resolved to fix the matter with a secret divorce. While he was thinking it over, the angel came to him in a dream and explained to him about the special baby Mary was carrying. Joseph was told what he should do. Take Mary as his wife and name the baby Jesus, which is the Greek form of the name Joshua that means Savior. Mary and Joseph went ahead with the wedding, but there was no physical marriage relationship between them until after the baby Jesus was born.
Elizabeth.
Mary. Oh, it's so nice to see you. It's been so long.
Elizabeth, you're going to have a baby.
Zacharias and I have been praying for years for a child. God heard our prayers, Mary. The angel Gabriel appeared unto Zacharias with the glad tidings.
The angel Gabriel? He appeared to me, too, and said I would have a son.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is he that shall be born unto thee. I am honored and blessed and made humble that you, Mary, the mother of the Prince of Peace, should come unto me.
My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior.
And when the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth was 8 days old, they administered the rite of circumcision, with many friends and neighbors in attendance. They agreed among themselves that the child should be named Zacharias after his father.
No, his name shall be John.
John? There's no one in your family named John. The child should be named for his father, or at least for some uncle, or...
Zacharias is motioning.
He wants a writing tablet. Here you are, dear. His name is John.
Immediately, Zacharias could speak once more, and there was much rejoicing. About this time, or shortly before, Mary returned to Nazareth. Some time later, Mary said unto Joseph,
Joseph, I am with child.
What?
I'm going to have a son.
You don't know what you're saying, Mary. Such a thing is impossible.
No, Joseph, it is true. The angel Gabriel...
No, don't tell me anything. I don't want to hear it. Only one thing. Are you sure you're going to have a baby?
Yes.
You realize, of course, that under the circumstances, I can't marry you. People would talk, and because I do love you and do not wish to make a public example of you, I will break off our engagement privately.
But, Joseph, I love you, and I...
I'll see you later. Oh, Mary, I'm so sorry for the way I acted last night and the things I said. I was wrong, completely wrong. Last night I had a dream. An angel appeared and said, I think these are his very words, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for her conception is by the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Mary, please, can you forgive me?
Gladly, Joseph.
Just think, Mary, my dear, you are to be the mother of the Son of God, he who was sent to save the people from their sins and from the Roman oppression.
Jesus, what a wonderful name, what a wonderful mission, to save mankind from their sins. Jesus, Jesus, precious, wonderful Jesus.
No wonder the prophet Isaiah said that his name shall be called Wonderful.
Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, but they came from different tribes. Mary was from the tribe of Judah, while Elizabeth was from Levi. This meant there must have been some intermarrying between the tribes. Although many years older than Mary, Elizabeth humbly and graciously put herself beneath Mary in importance because Mary was going to give birth to the Son of God. When the two women greeted each other, the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth. Elizabeth blessed Mary because Mary had believed the message from God about the coming birth of the Messiah. Mary responded to Elizabeth's blessing in praise to God. Although she felt unworthy of the honor given to her, Mary spoke of God's goodness and quoted from a number of Old Testament passages. At the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, written primarily for the Jewish people, the ancestral line of Jesus was traced from the royal line of King David through his stepfather Joseph. His genealogy is traced forward from Abraham and shows his relationship to the Jewish people. This is why the writer Matthew didn't go back any further than Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus' real genealogy through Mary was given at his baptism in chapter 3. Here, Jesus' genealogy followed backwards to Adam, but it indicates that Jesus was the supposed son of Joseph. Joseph and Jesus, however, were not related by bloodlines. When checking both accounts, Joseph, the husband of Mary, has been listed as being the son of Jacob in Matthew and the son of Heli in Luke. As a man can't have two fathers, it is assumed that Heli was Joseph's father-in-law and Mary his daughter. It was unusual in these times to pay attention to the genealogy of a woman. Yet, all of this is very important because the Messiah had to be a descendant of King David. When Mary travelled from Nazareth to the Judean hills to visit Elizabeth, she may have walked as far as 60 kilometres by herself. As society in recent times has become very security conscious, most parents or betrothed husbands wouldn't now agree to such a trip. But Elizabeth gave her a warm welcome. In the scriptures, there are times when God used relatives to support each other for his work. Moses had his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam to help him. And now the Lord Jesus has a relative in the role of the forerunner to his ministry, known as John the Baptist. Elizabeth gave birth to Jesus' cousin John, and he was dedicated to the Lord on the eighth day. When Zechariah declared on a writing tablet that the baby's name was to be John, as the angel had told him to do, Zechariah's ability to speak returned at last. He praised God and thanked him for this little boy. People all over the hill country heard about this child and wondered what he might grow up to be. After Mary had returned to Nazareth, she tried to explain to her betrothed husband about the baby she was carrying. What other explanation could there be but that she had been unfaithful to him? How could Joseph possibly trust her? There'd never before been a young woman who'd got pregnant without sexual intimacy with a man. Mary needed acceptance from Joseph and his help to rear this most important of all babies. Joseph was worried that people would count the months back from when the baby was born and realize that the marriage customs had been broken. Gossip would destroy their good name and standing in the community. God lists gossip alongside such sins as greed, hate, envy, and murder. We need to remember always that what comes out of our mouths indicates what we are thinking in our hearts. So we must learn to keep a guard over what we say, for gossip tears down the reputation of others, especially as gossip can be twisted from the truth or be plain lies prompted by envy. God came to Mary's rescue by sending an angel to appear to Joseph in a dream. Joseph accepted the situation, kept Mary as his wife, and did his part in caring for God's precious little child. In marriage, trust in one's partner is at the heart of the relationship and a necessity for a lifelong mutual loyalty and friendship. If trust is damaged, it's often difficult to restore to its original glow. Even more important is to learn to trust in our Creator God. A young woman went to a counselor saying that she couldn't trust anyone. In the conversation, she said that she was flying to another city in a few days. The counselor asked her how she'd ordered the ticket. She replied that she had phoned the booking clerk and reserved a seat. He asked how she was getting to the airport. By taxi, she said. The counselor showed her that she trusted a booking clerk she didn't know to do the right thing, and a taxi driver to take her to the right place. He further added that she was trusting her life to an airline pilot that she had never even met. If we didn't have a good level of trust in other people, we wouldn't do much at all. Life is a big teamwork effort. Nothing much is achieved without it. Many years ago, a missionary and his family worked in a small village in the African jungle. The missionary taught the children how to read and write, as well as what the Bible said. The children loved their teacher, and after a couple of years, one child, named Kimbu, asked the missionary's God to be his God too. Kimbu's trust in God was tested by the other students. "Kimbu, you serve a strange God. Show me the God you serve," they asked. Kimbu bravely answered, "I can't show you the God I serve, but I can show you the God you serve." With that, he picked up a block of wood lying on the ground and with a few handfuls of mud made a face on it. "There," he said, "that's the dead God you serve." The matter came up again a few days later. The missionary had given each child 5 marbles. As they hadn't seen such things before, they greatly valued them. Of course, some children stole marbles from the others, and Kimbu told them that that was wrong. The largest child said, "We can't even see your God, so how can he see us?" The child pointed to an idol at the edge of the schoolyard and said, "Our God sees us, but he doesn't care if we steal." Kimbu took some mud and walked over to the idol. He rubbed mud over the eyes of the idol and said, "Your God can't see, so he must be a dead God if he lets me rub mud in his eyes." Kimbu was often teased, but God gave him the strength to stand these tests of trust in his invisible God. Later, the other children began to respect him, although not all of them stopped their idol worship. Many things in life besides our God cannot be seen with human eyes. Who can see happiness and kindness? We simply see the effects of such things in the response and behavior of other people. Is our God worthy of complete trust? While we were still his wretched enemies, he loved us enough to send us his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept our sin debt owed to God and pay it for us. Jesus died and rose again to set us free. And how very thankful we should be. When we trust in his role as our substitute, we commit our whole lives to him in an ongoing relationship. This trust believes that God has our best interests at heart. When the good things we do benefits others, we receive the joy of being God's servant. When we realize that to disobey God brings harm to us, we'll be more guarded against being disobedient and sinning. In the last New Testament book of Revelation, chapter 4, it says of God, "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." God deserves our praise because he has the highest authority there is and keeps everything under his control. Don't neglect his free offer of clearing your sin debt. If you don't let him pay it for you now, you'll still have to pay it on Judgment Day, but it'll be too late then to try to have it removed. So pray to Jesus right away. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound and the website bibleradio.org.au. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is